Well, good evening, church. I'm glad you could take the opportunity to be here in the Lord's house tonight, and I'm excited to hear what the Lord has brought for us. And I'd like to welcome all those out there in Facebook land that's watching, and if you're out there in the parking lot listening on the radio, we welcome you also. And as always, we start off with a song to sing to the Lord, to lift praises up to Him. So let's stand and sing number 305. I have decided to follow Jesus. 305. Again, I'd like to welcome you all back to Thomas Village Baptist Church, and we've got, I'm here to introduce our guest speaker tonight, and his name is Chris Clark, and from what I understand, he lives across the hill in Lee County, Jonesville, he's in Lee County, but Chris, come on up and lay what the Lord's got on your heart for us, and
that was awful quick. I was expecting some more singing. Now, if you want to sing some more, that's fine with me. I believe in obeying the Lord. If anybody got anything they want to do or say, song anything. I mean, you won't hurt my feelings at all. Anybody got a song on their heart that's just burning so bad that you got to do it? I guess not. No, I don't. I don't. Well, it's almost like getting put on the spot. I guess that's fair, ain't it? Since how I done you all like that. I guess you can put me on the spot, too. Like the brother said, my name's Chris Clark. I'm from Jonesville. But that don't matter as to who I am. What matters is who Jesus is. And that's what we've come to tonight, to worship Him in spirit and truth. And I thank God for the opportunity to be able to come and worship with you tonight. This is the first time I've ever been here. But that don't matter, because if we're born again, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're all family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. It don't matter what the name is over the door, but we are one big body of folks, brothers and sisters. We're going to the same place. One day after a while, when they lay these old bodies down, when they raise us up, we're going to be in heaven with Jesus. Amen. I'm going that way. How about you? And if my mind serves me correctly, I think my brother was here not long ago. And Shane told me that he said that he was the golden one. And he is. He's the golden one. And we have always told him that he was the golden one. Because it never mattered what it was, he always got what he wanted, even though he was the middle child. And I was the baby until Tater came along, and then I wasn't a baby no more. I was just in the middle. But still, though, I thank God for His love and His mercy and His grace. And I've got a thought on my mind tonight. I thought about singing a song, but I can't find no words, so that's all right. I guess it wasn't meant to be. But if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be all over the place tonight. I've got a thought on my mind, and God being our helper, we're going to look at a few things. And I did put a piece of candy in my mouth, and it wasn't a button. See, the piece of candy will eventually dissolve and go away. But if the button won't. But if I had to put a button in my mouth, we might be here in the morning. But I promise you, I'm not that long-winded. I'm not. I like to be able to get my point across. It don't matter if the message is 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 2 hours long. As long as the point gets across that who Jesus Christ is, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. It's all because of Him tonight that we are here. We came tonight to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you came for any other reason, you missed the mark. We come tonight to worship Him and see what He has for us in the Word of God. That's why we are here tonight. We didn't come to see who's the prettiest, see who's dressed the nicest, who got the best haircut this past week. We didn't come for none of that. We came to worship God tonight. That's why I came. Why did you come? Think about that. And I'm going to start in Luke chapter 2, very familiar scripture. God being our helper, I might be able to get this preached tonight and I might be able to get it out. But I'm going to jump around in several different places. But we're going to start Luke chapter 2 right quick. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to leave that up to you. How many of you like homework? We've got one. We've got one that likes homework. Thank you for being honest. Because we got a teacher sitting right here, and I guarantee you she loves to give it. Love you, Sherry. Luke chapter 2. Now, the thought that I had on my mind comes from the first 4 or 5 words in this very first verse of chapter 2. And it says, and it came to pass. Let's stop right there for just a second. The word came. I know Sherry teaches math. I guess you still teach math. We got any English teachers in here tonight? Thank God, because I hate English class. I hate it. I never did like it when I was in school. I didn't like it so much that I had 3 English classes my senior year. That's how bad I hated it. But by the grace of God and the skin of my teeth, I passed it and I got out of it. But that word came means past tense of come. Already happened. Now, if you have ever read the Christmas story out of Luke, you know exactly what this chapter is. It pertains to the birth of Jesus Christ. This is what I want to talk to you about. And it came to pass. It has already happened.
It already happened. How do you know? Because I wouldn't be standing here tonight preaching to you if it hadn't already happened. And if it hadn't already happened, then we wouldn't have a Savior today that we could say, He is mine and I am His. And He wouldn't have went to the cross of Calvary to die in my place. But He says, and it came to pass in those days. That's all I'm going to read of that very first verse. And I'm going to skip around in this chapter for just a minute. And hopefully I don't lose none of you. Raise your hand if I lose you. And I'll try to back up. But as it said, as it came to pass. It came to pass because Mary and Joseph, they had done and left the city of David and went up to Jerusalem, where that they were couldn't find nowhere to stay, and they ended up out in the barn. And you know how nice a barn is if you've been around of a farm or whatever, and I'm sure it isn't even in Scott County. You've been around the barn somewhere during your lifetime, which I was from Lee County, and I was raised up on a farm. I know how nasty it is, but could you just imagine how that Mary brought a child into this world and laid him in that manger in that old nasty cold barn? Could you imagine that? I couldn't even imagine that is how a mother could do something like that, but she knew there was something special about that child. Because He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. That's how special He was. Because He came into this world to save sinners like me and like you. And it came to pass. It happened. Now let's jump on down here. Which I didn't mark it. I thought I'd be able to just grab a hold of it and be gone with it. But that's all right. But you know how it went. On down through there. Verse 15, it says that again. And it came to pass. As the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. There it was. It came to pass. How that baby was born. I tell you what, when a little child is born, especially his grandparents and parents, oh, we're just as happy as we can be when them little bitty fellas come into this world. But I'm going to be honest with you, saying, I wouldn't dare want to bring a child into this world today as weird and wicked as it is. It's horrible. Ain't no way I'd want to bring a child into this world. It was bad enough 10, 15 years ago. But nowadays, I can't bring myself to do something like that. I don't see how anybody could, but other than the love that parents could give to a child, that would be the only thing. But they said it, and it came to pass. In the first part of that verse 15. And it came to pass. And after all that, after that child was born, after Jesus was born, He done wonderful things. Teaching in the temple when He was 12 years old. Walking through the streets and the multitude of following Him. Healing people. How do you know, preacher? Because the Word tells us many times the woman with the issue of blood. All she does, she had to press through the crowd because she couldn't, she'd done all she could. But she pressed through the crowd that day just to touch the hem of His garment. That's all it took. And He knew. He knew. As soon as she touched the hem of His garment, He knew. He said, who touched me? And there she was. Big rulers today, they would say, oh, get out of here, woman, or they have her drug away out of the squire or whatever. Get out of here. We don't want no part of you. We don't want nothing to do with you. But thanks be to God. He told her, he said, woman, you're healed. Go thy way. That ain't exactly how it went, but that's my version. And it's close enough for right now. But if you really want to look at it, dig in the Bible and it'll show you and tell you exactly how it is. You remember that little bitty feller? He wanted to see Jesus so bad that day. But he was just a little bitty feller. What'd he do? He climbed up that tree, brother. He climbed up that tree so he could see over the crowd. I can see over the crowd. But I don't like being over the crowd. I like being down here with you, brother. I like being down here amongst God's people. I don't like to be up in the nosebleed section. I want to be down here where the goodness of God is. Brother asked me out there a while ago, he said, do you stay behind the pulpit? Does this answer your question? But I told the other fellow, I said, I hope your cameraman can keep up. He said, we ain't got one. He said, we just spread the winds out. I said, oh, it's okay. I can't stay in one spot. I like to move around. And when the Spirit of God, I tell you what, when it gets on me, I like to move. We need to move, Dustin. We need to quit sitting on the padded pews and do nothing and do something for God. There's lost people out here dying every day and going to a devil's hell. What are we doing about it? Absolutely nothing. We're sitting in here on our cushy pews. We got a nice and warm in here. I've got on a long sleeve shirt and I'm on the verge of starting to sweat. But that's all right. I'd rather wear out for God than sit around and rest out for the devil. How about you tonight? We need to work for God. There's no excuse for our churches to be empty. You've got one whole section over here that is empty tonight. I bet if we put everybody in one place, they'd be three empty sections. Brother, I don't know if I can sit that close to somehow. I tell you what, you better get just as close as you can today and love one another, because when you get to heaven, you ain't got no choice. Preacher, you're too loud. You think I'm loud now? You wait till I get to heaven. When I get to singing and praising my God. That's just how it's going to be. Dustin knows how I am. I appreciate you coming tonight, brother. I do. I appreciate you. Me and Dustin go to the same church and we work together in our church preaching and trying to help and support our pastor. And I was kind of hoping he'd be here tonight. But that's okay. He probably wasn't feeling good. It takes a lot out of him. I ask y'all to pray for him tonight. He's had a lot of health issues. It's almost kind of like Paul with the thorn in the flesh. But I tell you what, he preached his heart out this morning, he did. And there's been times that I can see it in his face that he's just so wore out and beat down. And it ain't nothing but the devil trying to destroy him. It's almost like when Peter, I told him, he said, Peter, he said, the devil would like to sift you as wheat. Sometimes I believe he's trying to do that, Dustin. Not only to our pastor, but all of our church members. All of our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. He's trying to sift us as wheat. Because that's his job. He's trying his best to destroy us. Because he knows. Thank you, Lord. He knows that he can't have us. Because the blood is on our soul. Ain't you glad of that tonight? I ain't exactly 100% sure where it's at the moment. But it says that he cannot pluck us out of God's hand. Because that's where we're at tonight. You imagine all the Christian people in the world. You imagine how big God's hands is. I'm a pretty good sized fella and I've got some big hands. But I don't compare to how big God is. Let's move on. Now, after we've laid a little groundwork, has to, and it's come to pass, when Jesus was born and he had done his work throughout the temple and throughout the streets of healing people and according to all the other people causing big uproar. They wanted to do something about it. And they did. Let's flop over to Matthew. I'll show you a few things over here. Matthew 26. Right there it is again in a furry verse. And it came to pass. I don't know if it's 100% sure or not, but I Googled it. And it said that these words, and it came to pass, is in the Word of God 453 times. That's a pretty good number. It might be true, then again, it might not be. How many of you knows that Google is 100% correct? That's exactly what I thought. Google ain't worth a dime. It must be one of Satan's cousins or something. Because it ain't never right. All the time causing trouble. And it says, and it came to pass. When Jesus had finished these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He was born. He walked on this earth. He done his teachings and his preachings and his healings. And he's stirring up the people. He's making trouble. So we're going to crucify him. We're going to do away with him. That's what they thought. Anyway. So they sent him before Pilate. Pilate's hall. And Pilate told him, he said, I see no fault in this man. But the people, they said, oh, he stirs up the people. He causes trouble. Crucify him. As it went on, Pilate had Barabbas as a murderer, a thief, just rotten to the core. Pilate asked the people, he said, which would you rather have? Jesus, a common man, a teacher, a priest, a preacher? Or would you rather me turn loose a murderer and a thief? Give us Barabbas, they said, they cried. They got what they wanted. They got Barabbas. And Jesus got crucified. They drug him out into the streets, tied him up, and beat him. Beyond recognition. Could you imagine? How many of you have ever seen a cat of nine tails? I haven't really. I've seen pictures. But it's got a handle probably about that long, and then all kinds of leather pieces tied onto the end of it, and it's got bone fragments and glass and stuff tied into those leather pieces. And when they come back and when they hit Jesus with that, and when they pull back, I just can't imagine it. The pain and the agony that he went through, just for me, Shane, just for me, he went through that. Because when they pulled that back, it brought meat and blood with it. And every time that they hit him, they pulled more. And they beat him. And it probably wasn't, you couldn't even recognize who he was. I got ahead of myself. Before all of this took place, over in about the middle of that chapter, verse 38, it says, "Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And when he had went, thank you, Lord. When he had went a little farther, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thine will." And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." He knew, after he had went and prayed, I like the first part of that. Second verse, I said, he went a little farther. Just a little farther. Wasn't much, just a little farther. He may have went just a little farther, but I tell you tonight, church, he went all the way. He went all the way just for me. He went all the way just for you. And it came to pass. Because it had been done. Because he knew what he had to do to save the people of the world. One of the brothers at the church this morning was talking about it. Y'all got one too. You see how nice and pretty and that cross is? How it represents what Jesus was home. Bad news for you. It didn't look absolutely nothing like that. See how nice and slick and pretty that is? One of the brothers said, he said, no. He said it was probably an old piece of locust that they drug out of the bushes, still had the thorns on it, that he laid down on willingly for them to drive the nails in his hand and in his feet. And then they picked him up and shoved him down in that hole in the ground for the world to see. He done it willingly, church. He went a little farther. But he went all the way. All the way to Calvary's cross to die for us. I'm about half done. You believe that, don't you? But after all of that, here's the best part. Thank you, Lord. After they crucified him, they came and they told him, said, "We want the body of Jesus." Most of the time that they break the legs. That way that when they break the legs that they can't stand up no more. And when they come down, all that pressure on everything, it just suffocates them to death. But they didn't do that with Jesus. But they pierced his side. And I had never really thought about this, and I've preached this many, many times, about the blood and water coming from his side. I heard a preacher talking here not long ago, as when they pierced his side, the blood began to flow. And all the blood came before the water. Now think about that. The blood came before the water. They didn't come together, but they come separately. But the blood came first. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood that was shed for my sins. Thank you for that. And after that, they took him to a borrowed tomb. Why do you think they took him to a borrowed tomb? I'll tell you exactly why they took him to a borrowed tomb, church. Because he didn't need it very long. He only needed it for 3 days. Because the promise that he gave, he said, I will arise in 3 days. And he did. He did. That was the promise that he made, and that's the promise that he kept. And he made it to where the world could see back in that time. Because he had that borrowed tomb. And they rolled that big giant rock in front of it. And then they put them soldiers out there. Because they thought that somebody would steal the body of the Lord and make people think that he arose. But that didn't happen. When they came the next morning to anoint his body with spices, when they came down to the tomb, the stone was rolled away and the guards were fell asleep as dead men. And when they went in and seen the body of Jesus was gone, wasn't nothing left there but the grave clothes. Folded nice and neat. And the napkin that they had on his head, it was just laying there where they had laid Jesus. And there's still some people today that are doubting that. How do you know? Because you got all these so-called scientists trying their best to prove that he's not alive. But I got news for you. You go over yonder and you look in the tomb, you'll not find any bones or anything because he's not there. He's alive forevermore. He's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us tonight. Now you go over yonder and you look in Buddha's tomb, you're going to find a set of bones because he's dead. Jesus Christ is alive and doing well. Now, after that, the resurrection, he's alive. And poor old Thomas, poor old Doubting Thomas. We've got a lot of Doubting Thomases here on this earth. We are, and I tell you what, we doubt it when God says it. We need to pay attention because when God says it, we need to believe it. We need to believe it and we need to do what God tells us to do. Instead of saying, oh no, let somebody else do that. When you put God off and you say, let somebody else, then you're missing a blessing from God. When the brother called me to come and preach for y'all, I could have said, brother, I'm tied up. I can't do it. But when God called me to preach, he told me, he said, you need to go. When they ask, you need to go. I'll make a way for you. I've tried my best. When somebody calls, I try my best. If I can get it worked out, I'll go. I've wrestled with this message all week long. I thought about it and thought about it. Then about 15 after 4 this evening, something entered my mind and said, you don't need to preach it tonight. I was like, what? After I've done all this studying and looked and done this and that, I said, now you want to change it on me? So I got up and I went back to the kitchen table and a thought entered my mind this morning during the preaching and stuff. And I actually told Dustin about some of it. But I thought about that and I was like, this don't make no sense. I got to read and say, this don't make no sense. And I went right back to, and it came to pass. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad it came to pass because I wasn't for sure on how to preach that. That may be for another day. But I like the way how God deals with us. How He gives us different things that we need to do. But we need to quit passing the buck. And we need to step up and work for God. And I'm going to throw this out here for you for tonight. You can... This might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I might not get to come back after this, Shane, but it'll be all right. Tonight y'all have come. And if all you members ain't here, shame on you if you're watching on Facebook. You ought to have been here tonight because it's important for your members to be searching for a pastor. It's important. It's not to be taken lightly, church. If you're not here tonight, and if you want to tell some of the ones that wasn't here what I said, that's fine and dandy. If they don't like it, tell them to take it up with God. He's my big brother. He'll fight my battles for me. But if they don't like who you put in to help find and look for a pastor and whoever they vote on to be your pastor, don't let us say, oh, I don't like him. Then you should have been here to voice your opinion. Instead of sitting at the house watching TV. I'll give you that for free. Won't cost you a dime. If you ain't figured it out by now, I'll tell you how old I am. I'm 45. But if you ain't figured it out by now, I'm just as old-fashioned as it gets. I don't care about all this newfangled stuff. All I care about is the Word of God and who and how they preach it. I like the old-time ways. I should have been born 70 years ago or longer. That's just the way I am. That's the way I was raised up. When we was kids, people may have thought we was on drugs because our parents drug us to every church in the country. Because my dad was a preacher and he preached revivals all over the country. And we went to church on Saturday night and Sunday night and Sunday morning and Wednesday. It takes a act of Congress to get them to the house of God on Sunday mornings anymore. Amen? I'm getting off track here. And it came to pass. We've done had the resurrection. He's come back and he's talking to all of them. And Thomas, he says, I don't believe it. Thomas has to look at his hands and see the nail prints in his hands where they nailed him to the cross. And that wasn't good enough for him. He had to put his hand in his side where they had pierced his side. Me personally, I believe the nail scars would have been good enough for me. Well, poor old Thomas, he was just ignorant and unlearned. That's just about a good way to put it. He had to have confirmation. I've got confirmation tonight in my soul that God lives in me. How about you? But after the resurrection and after he had walked around a little bit, he descended back to heaven to his Father's house. I've got to hurry. This is going to maybe be my last point. After the resurrection and then he went back to his Father's house and all that, he said, and it came to pass. All of that is in the past. It's already happened. But there's one thing. There's one thing that is yet to come. Amen. How many of you know what that is? Here this morning, I believe you ought to know because the preacher preached on it just a little bit. He used my scripture that I'm fixing to show you here in just a minute. But first, John 14. Y'all know what that is. He started in the first, read the first part of it. So you ought to know what it says. Amen? If you listened this morning. But I'm not going to read all of it. All I'm going to read is verse 3 of John 14. Verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Amen? I will come again. Come means it ain't happened yet. He's well on his way though. How do you know? Because I can hear it just about any day. When I look toward the eastern sky of the morning, when I get up and I'm on the job and I see the sun coming up, I can see, Lord, is today the day? Will I hear my name be called? Will I hear the trump of God sound? Are you listening for it? Are you looking for His coming? We need to be, because it's just going to be any day. Oh, preacher, I've heard that all my life. I have too, but it's still yet to come. And after He comes, then He can say, "Now this is just me saying, it has come to pass." But it can't be said that just yet, because He hasn't come. But He's well on His way tonight, church. How do you know? Because the Word of God says so, and it's the promise that He gave. He said, "I will come again." He didn't say maybe so or hope so. He said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." Over in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52, it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We're going to rise when the trumpet sounds. The graves are going to burst open and we're going to come out of there. Just like it did when... You remember the story of Lazarus? Pastor, he preached on that this morning. And that's in there, on there too. I seen that this morning, Dustin. And it came to pass. He died and was carried to Abraham's bosom. It's coming. It's coming to us all. How do you know, preacher? Because it's happening every day. There's young people, there's little babies, middle-aged folks, elderly people. There's people dying every day. If people ever stop dying, funeral people, they'd just be out of a job. They'll be out of a job anyway when we get to heaven, because when we get to heaven, there'll be no more dying there. Doctors will be out of a job because there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more pain. Lawyers and judges, they'll be just out of the job. As crooked as they are, they'll be out of a job. All them politicians, they'll all be out of a job because we'll be serving one king. One king, and His name is Jesus. But He said, "I will come again." And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that tonight. How about you, church? Do you believe that? That's my message to you tonight. Now I'm going to ask, where'd that piano player get to? I'll ask you if you would come play us a song. I'm going to give an altar call right quick. A lot of people don't believe in this anymore. A lot of people don't. But I try my best to give you an opportunity. A lot of people think that this altar is for the lost people. you're badly wrong. This altar is for everybody. She plays. If you feel like you need to come and pray for somebody, I want you to come. Somebody that might, something that you might be going through that you need God's help with. Or somebody in your family that is sick and going through that just needs prayer. Come pray for them. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to ask you to stand. Come on. Get you a little bit closer. Don't wait. If God wants, if you need to come, come. If you want me to pray with you, I will. But most importantly tonight, if you're here tonight and you're lost and don't know God, you don't know who He is, you don't know who Jesus is, you don't have the blood on your soul, you don't know for sure that if you died tonight that you'd end up in heaven. Do you have that promise? Do you know for sure that heaven will be your home? If you don't know and if you don't understand, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, hell will be your home. If you die tonight, we don't have the promise of the next breath. We don't have the promise of making it home here in a little bit. We don't have that promise. But the promise that we do have is through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have eternal hope, eternal salvation. What about it tonight? Do you need salvation? Today's the day of salvation. God loves you tonight. I hope and pray that everybody here tonight is saved. I hope you are. But if you ain't, I invite you to come and meet Jesus. Preacher, you don't understand what I've done, where I've been. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't care. I'm not your judge. God is. He's your judge. He's the one that you need to be concerned with. I've done went too far. I've done too much. It don't matter how big or how little of a sin you think it is. God loves you tonight, and He saves old sinners. He saves the drunkard. He saves the dope addicts. He saves them all. The murderers, the thieves. God don't care. He loves everybody. He loves everybody. How do you know? Because He went to an old rugged cross to shed His blood for the sins of the whole world. Not just a few, but for the whole world. Anybody need to come? I'm just another minute or two. It's up to you. But if God's dealing with you, here in just another second or two, I'm gonna dismiss and turn it back over to the brother. Anybody need to come? Thank you for having me. I appreciate the love that God has for us all. I've never been here before in my life. But I felt liberty. I felt loved. Everybody that I talked to, they welcomed me. And I thank you for that. That's the way it ought to be. No matter whether you know me or if you ever see me ever again, you say, "Hey, I recognize him. That's that old loudmouth preacher from Jonesville." That'll be all right if that's how you remember me. That's all right. But know this tonight, church, I love the Lord. And I thank Him for all the many blessings that He's given me. He's blessed me in so many different ways. He's blessed me enough that He let me live a little over 5 years ago when I almost got killed on a logging job. God showed mercy on me that day and He let me live. because I have more preaching to do, more work for Him to do. But I thank God that He loved me so much that He died for me, Shane. I thank Him for that. And I've known Shane and Sherry for a long time. Now, y'all think y'all know Shane real well? Try living in a truck with him for 3 weeks. I tell you what, when they first called me into doing that, we used to work together for the same people. And he was over the road and I wasn't. They conned us into doing that, and I thought to myself, this ain't going to be good. Because I've only talked to Shane a few times. Here we was fixing to stay in a truck for 3 weeks hauling Christmas mail from Philadelphia to Tampa, Florida. We done it. We done such a good job, they begged us to come back and do it again the following year. We told them to forget it. I tell you what, I was all my life glad to get back to Lee County when we got done with that, because I tell you what, on both ends, some of the hatefulest people you ever talked to. It was horrible. But then there was a few people that we had talked to. Man, I tell you what, super nice people. But I tell you what, if you really wanted to get to know somebody, spend 3 weeks in a truck with them. But I tell you what, after that first couple of days, I wouldn't have changed nothing for the world, because we got to talking, we got to knowing each other. Thank you, Lord. God put us together for a reason. Because we took care of each other. I'd sleep and he'd drive. He'd drive and I'd sleep. And I'd sleep. He wouldn't. He couldn't do it. I was used to it because I drove teams before. He couldn't do it. The only time he got sleep is when we got to our destination. And we was there 4 or 5 hours early. And he slept during that time. I just sat there and twiddled my thumbs because I was wide awake, because I'd done already got my sleep. But God puts people together. And I hope and pray God puts people together tonight to find you all a pastor. Pray about it and listen to what God tells you, church. Don't listen to that one and this one. Say, oh, we need to get this one. He's a good one. I guarantee you he ain't going to be worth a dime. Listen to what God says. God will give you who you need and he'll send you who you need if you listen to him. I love you tonight. I appreciate Brother Otis. Appreciate you, brother, and Brother Flandry. Thank you for having me tonight. I thank my brother Dustin for coming and supporting me. Most of all, I thank God for his love and his mercy. I love you tonight. I turn it over to Brother Flandry. I got to have this.
Well, that was encouraging words, and I'm glad you come, and I'm glad you spoke the truth that God laid upon your heart, and we're all better for it. And with that, we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get on with the rest of our evening. So, Father God, I just want to thank you again for this another opportunity to be in your house amongst your people, and I just so enjoy come to church and being amongst everybody here, and especially you, Lord. Thank you for showing up tonight and being here and loving us. Just be with all those who are sick and couldn't be here tonight, and just be with us in the rest of our service tonight, that your will be done, and we always want to do what you want to do, and we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.